God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you have called each and every one of us for such a time as this. That it is no coincidence that we are in your house today, that we are sitting next to the person that we are sitting next to this morning. God, I thank you that you are going to move. I pray that you have your way today. I pray that we would hear your word this morning. Let it fall on open hearts, that we may hear from you, and God, that those who don't yet know you today would leave encountering you in a real way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. Before you take your seats, why don't you high-five the person next to you? Tell them how amazing they look right now. They look amazing, right? You know, this past on December 31st, our family, we were actually in Washington, D.C. We went there for a couple days over Christmas break. And we decided to go out to dinner on December 31st. We went out at 4:30 p.m. because that's what you do when you have little kids. You eat so early. And so we went out to this random restaurant that we could find that was by our, that where we were staying. And, you know, we began to talk to our kids about this past year. It was December 31st, so we took a moment to reflect with them. Now, for those of you that may not know, I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a newly 2-year-old. And so we went out to eat. We were talking about this past year, the year of 2022. And I feel like I'm just shedding and it's flying everywhere. Anyway, just bear with me. And so we were talking about what was your favorite thing that we did this past year. And what I love about kids is all the years kind of jumble together. And so they're telling us things that we did like 2 years ago as if it was yesterday. You know how like yesterday, there's no real concept of that yet. And it was very, very cute, their answers. And then we were talking about highlights of this year. And then we began to talk about 2023. And so we asked them, what is, you know, what's a place that you'd like to go on vacation this year? What's something that you would like to do? Where's some place, if you could pick anywhere to go, where would you want to go? And Lennon's telling us halfway across the world, and Jax is just telling us he wants to go to Apex. That's all he wants to do. Let's go on vacation to Apex. I'm like, okay, buddy. And we're talking about, you know, what's one thing you want to improve on this year? We were like hinting, obedience, like, come on. And so we were sharing, even Jared and I were sharing with them, you know, what are things that we want, what do we want 2023 to look like for our family? And we were talking about the vision for our family and where we would love to go this year and things we would love to do. Planning trips, vacations. What do you want to change this year or focus more on this year? And as we were talking with the kids, we were walking back to the hotel, and I began to think about New Year's resolutions, the whole idea of a New Year's resolution. How many in here and you have written some New Year's resolutions for this year? It's okay. That's good. How many are still on board or still on track with your New Year's resolutions? Okay, a few of you. Good job. Good job. This whole idea of a resolution. A New Year's resolution is actually a tradition in the Western world that, you know, a person resolves to continue good practices, change an undesired behavior or trait, accomplish a goal, lots of different things. And I'm all for resolutions. I'm all for making goals, writing out the vision. We do that as a family. But you know, there's things that I want to do more of, things that I want to do less of this year. But it got me thinking as we were walking back to the hotel, one of the main goals of a Christ follower and as a disciple of Jesus is actually that we would become more like Jesus. Right? That as we grow on this Christian journey, as we are a disciple of Jesus and following him, that we would actually become more like him. And I thought to myself, and this is a convicting question, at the end of 2022, was I more like Jesus than I was at the start? Is my behavior, is my character more like Jesus? Or is it less like Jesus? Or is it just the same? And so I had this conviction, and that's what I want to share with you this morning, is are we being intentional about becoming more like Jesus? That I would like to propose to you the greatest resolution that we could have is actually that this year we would become more like Jesus. That what if our church as a whole took this on, and at the end of 2023, we could all say, yeah, we are more like Jesus than we were in January. That Jesus has worked through me, that I have followed his word. It's a convicting thought, isn't it? Have I become more like Jesus? More like the God I serve. And we, you know, this may be just a very simple message, which is, I'm kind of simple, that's okay. But I hope that it is a great reminder and a great convictor for each and every one of us. I mean, I am speaking to you purely out of my own conviction today of how I want to be more like Jesus. So I picked a few things from the life of Jesus when Jesus was here on earth that he did or characteristics of him that I think that we need to get more of this year. Are you ready? Are you with me? You're a little quiet. Number one, Jesus was humble. I want to be more humble this year. Example, humility. Mark 10:45, Jesus himself said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the ultimate example of a humble servant leader. He was the Son of God, imagine that, Son of God, and yet humbled himself to come here on earth and ultimately die so that we could experience salvation. I think about the time that he washed the disciples' dirty feet. How humble, how humility was just pouring out of him. In John 13:5, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wash them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And I just want to encourage us, in this day and age, it's very easy to get caught up in what we're doing and social media and the life that we want to portray and how great we are, right? And we can even fall into this false pretense, I think, and social media doesn't help this, I'm going to be honest with you, that we deserve a lot, right? Like, yes, girl, you made it to work, you deserve a coffee. No, you showed up to work because that is your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We have our mornings that you're like, thank you, Jesus, I just made it here. Especially when you have kids. You're like, I made it to church. I deserve the world. You know, whatever. But we can fall under this false pretense that we deserve so much. I am owed so much. I am so awesome. That can we be reminded to be humble? That we are here not to be served, but to serve. When we come to church, can I talk to you for a second? That we are not here to be served, but to serve. To serve those around us. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. A servant leader. Number two, Jesus was obedient. I want to be obedient this year. I want to grow in my obedience. Philippians 2:8. This is the Message version. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, what obedient life. And then died a selfless, what obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. The NIV says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Jesus was obedient to what God asked him to do. He obeyed the Father. And you know what? His obedience pleased God. Jesus went to the cross, out of obedience to God. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, God hasn't directly asked me to do anything. You know, like Jesus was sent here on earth and God asked him to do this. But you know what God has asked of you, and you know what you do have is the Word of God. So can I ask you, how obedient are we at following the Word of God? Y'all, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I want to be obedient to God's word. Luke 11. Actually, I'm going to skip over that verse. Maybe some of us need to take inventory on our obedience. That does not mean that we are perfect. I am not claiming to be perfect. But I want to strive towards obedience to everything that God has asked me to, everything that he has said in his word. Because in 1 Corinthians, I love this, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul is speaking and he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul says, do what I'm doing because I'm following Christ. If someone were to follow and do what you are doing, would they be following Christ? Following what Christ has asked of you. I know this is kind of in your face this morning, and it's 9:53. Sorry, y'all. But I just cannot get this out of my spirit. Number three, Jesus was patient. Have you ever thought about how Jesus waited 30 years before he started his ministry? 30 years. Can you imagine in my fleshly nature? I'm all over the place with my words today, sorry. In my fleshly nature, if I'm Jesus at like 21, I'm like, God, I got this. I mean, I'm perfect. I know your will. I got this. And yet the time wasn't right. He was patient. He waited 30 years. 30 years to start his ministry. He knew it was not yet his time. Honestly, this is probably the thing that I need to work on the most. Patience. I have 3 kids, and I thought I was a patient person. I am not a patient person, I have learned. In fact, I'm going to be really honest with you. Yesterday, as I'm going over this message, feeling convicted every time that I go over it, I am actually, this is a total side tangent. It doesn't really have anything to do with my message, but I'm going to tell you quickly because I'm just being real with y'all today. I am going to visit my great-grandmother this week in Australia, which is pretty awesome. It was very last minute and just kind of God ordained and orchestrated this opportunity, and I'm taking Zev with me. And all the parents are like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm crazy, I know. And so because of that, I had to get him a passport this past week, which was a whole ordeal in and of itself. Oh my gosh, if I were to tell you, you would just laugh. You would think I'm crazy. I am, it's okay. And so we get the passport, and then because we're flying to Australia and he's not a citizen, I have to get him a visa. So yesterday I'm applying for a visa for him to be able to get into the country. And I don't know who created this process. It was someone without children, because there is an app that you have to download to get this visa. And in part of that, you scan your passport, you fill out all this information, and then you have to get a picture. But the problem is, you can't like upload a picture. You can't even take the picture yourself. It scans the face, and you have to sit there for 5 seconds within this little window for it to work. And it goes red, and then it'll start to go green, and then you have to hold it while it's green for 5 seconds, like this part. You can't be smiling too much. It'll go red again. You can't have your head tilted. It will go red. And I just about lost my mind. I'm like, Jared, I can't do this. This is impossible. These people are asking impossible things of us. I lost my patience for a minute. And thankfully, Jared, being the patient person that he is, what? Yeah, it was like, have you tried just like holding him and distracting him? I'm like, are you kidding? Are we doing that right now? And so he picks him up, and I was, you know, when you're just frustrated and you're like, I can't even think straight, frustrated. I was probably at that place. And so he picks little Zev up and does little bunny ears behind me, and he sits for 5 seconds, and we got that picture. The epitome of patience and the epitome of God is not done with me yet. In those moments, I have to remind myself, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and the kicker, patience. That I must put that on daily. Patience. I want to be more like Jesus and grow in my patience this year. Number four, Jesus was creative. We serve a creative God. Look at the people around you. Each one of us formed and fashioned so differently, meticulously, and amazingly beautiful. We serve a creative God. Think about Jesus. He's teaching over 5,000 people. And, you know, the disciples come to him and say that people are hungry. What does he do? He says, well, what food do we have? And performs a creative miracle. Feeds all of those people out of a little lunch from a little boy. We serve a creative God. Jesus did so many creative miracles, turned water into wine. He used parables to explain the kingdom of God. He got creative in the way that he told stories about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like. Often we can hear the word creative and think, I'm not creative. Well, you were made in the image of God, and we serve a creative God, so guess what? You're creative. I love that I have, again, little kids, and so all of my illustrations are my children today, because that's just the season I'm in, y'all. Yeah. But you know what I love about kids is that they are so creative. Yeah. And as we get older, we can sometimes lose some of that creativity. Yeah. When life hits us, we're like, yeah, let's just stay in this little box, because I know this works. I love my kids because they can turn anything into whatever they want to. Give them a box and they'll turn it into an airplane. Give them toilet paper rolls and they'll do a concert for you with their microphones. In fact, just yesterday, we became the proud family owners of a cat. Hold on. before you clap. Lennon went missing for a couple of seconds in our house. Not missing. I thought she had just gone to the bathroom. And like 5 minutes later, she comes into the living room where we are. And she's like, guess what? We have a cat now. You want to see our cat? Okay, you can look at our cat. That's our cat. But like fully in her mind, it's our cat. That is our cat. It doesn't have a name yet. Lennon hasn't named it yet. She's still deciding. But she is treating this thing like it's a real cat. In her head, this is our pet cat. But you know what? I love it because she's being creative and she's being like her creator. Some of us need to get a little more creative. Maybe it's creativity needed in your marriage. Get creative with your date night. Creativity in your workplace. Things aren't working, get creative. In your family, maybe it's disciplining your kids, get creative. We serve a creative God. You are creative. Maybe it's songs that you want to start writing, get creative. Maybe it is physically an art that you want to try. Start getting creative. My prayer is that we as a church would be so creative this year. That inside each and every one of us is creativity. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more creative this year. Number 5, Jesus was generous. I think that one of the things that should set us apart as Christians is our generosity. I know that immediately we begin to think of finances, and yes, that is a huge part of it, of being generous. But Jesus was generous with his whole life. Jesus encountered people that were sick, he healed them. He encountered people that were hungry, he fed them. He cared for widows. He was generous with his life. And you know what else he was generous with? His time. He was constantly on the way to different places and people would stop him and he stopped and talked with them. He took the time to be with people. He was generous with his time. I want to be generous like Jesus. That those random interruptions, wherever I may be, I want to be interruptible. I want to be generous with my time. You know, when I think about generosity, I mentioned that I'm flying to Sydney this week, and I'm going to visit my great-grandmother, who is Zev's, our kid's great-great-grandmother. She's 100 years old. I know, crazy, right? And when I think about generosity, though, I think about my nan. And every time I talk about her, I cry, so I'm going to try to hold it together today. But you know what I love about my nan is that she is one of the most generous people that I know. And in the natural, she has not a lot. In fact, her house, her and her husband, my grandfather, who is in heaven now, actually built with their own hands. Like it's a tin house. When it rains, you can hear it all day long. And that's the house that they lived in for, I think, over 50 years together. But you know what I love is memories of me going to visit my nan. She was one of 10 kids growing up. She was born in 1922. And they had a rough life. They didn't have a lot. And even as she got older, she didn't have, naturally a lot. And yet every time I went to her house, she would have this piggy bank that she would fill up, and she would even have multiple piggy banks that she would fill up, so that when we went to visit her, our job was to count all of the money, and then we got to go spend it with her. Now, it would be like $50 for each of us total, which was a lot. Like, now I'm like, that was such a sacrifice for her. And she did it so freely and willingly. In fact, a couple of years ago, my mom went to go visit her, and she has been saving money, and this is where I'm going to start to cry. Great. She has been saving money her whole life to be able to give me and my brothers an inheritance, if you will. And so my mom brought back this money, and it was a lot of money for her. Like, her whole life, this is what she had saved for. And when you see her and the amazing life that she lived, but the very simple life that she lived, I'm like, I don't need this. We are fine. You know, we are doing okay. You keep this. You do what you need to do to your house or whatever. And she's like, no, I will sow into the next generation. But when I think about a generous life, it's not the person that had the most money to me. She sacrificed so much for us. And I want to be like that one day to my great-grandchildren. Oh, jeez. I want to exude a generous life. I want to be known as a generous person. In my finances, if I have the means to help somebody, guess what? I want to be able to help them. I want to choose generosity. I want to be generous with my words. Jesus was generous with his words, encouraging people. Generous with my time with people. Amen. I'm going to jump to point number 6. This year, I want to be more generous. I want to be like Jesus, be generous to those around me in everything I do. Number 6, Jesus forgives. I think about one of the biggest characteristics of Jesus as I read my Bible. And it's that he constantly forgave people around him who wronged him. Constantly. One of the biggest examples I can think of is when Jesus was on the cross. You know, just this past week, my son was reading, he just got a new Bible, and he was reading it. We got to the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, and there were the three crosses. It's like a picture Bible. And, you know, he was reading about it, and he said to me, why did people want to kill Jesus? He did nothing wrong. And I'm like, in my finite brain, trying to explain that to a 7-year-old, you're right. He did do nothing wrong. But because he loved you so much, he did that just for you, Jax. I think about him, that moment on the cross, and yet Jesus is literally like dying. And his words are in Luke chapter 23, verse 32 through 34. So there are two other men, both criminals, who were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And what does Jesus say? For the people that are crucifying him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. He was on the cross dying for you and for me, and yet was forgiving the people right in front of him who are doing that to him. Other examples I can think of, Jesus forgave Peter, who denied him on the night that Jesus was tried and crucified. Imagine that. One of the people closest to you denying you. And yet in John 21, Jesus forgives and reinstates Peter into ministry. Jesus forgave the woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8. Jesus constantly forgave people when he encountered them. And honestly, I think this can be one of the hardest things for us. Because we kind of like to hold a grudge. And we like to tell people about it. Because it makes us feel so much better. Look at how wronged I was. Right? But when we're faced with those moments where things happen that are unfair, things happen that shouldn't have happened, what does Jesus say to do? Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came, I love this. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" I love that because he probably thought that was a lot. Like, look, Jesus, I'm so great. Like 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. This really convicts me. How am I at forgiving others? When people hurt me or things happen that shouldn't have, I want to choose forgiveness. Because in forgiveness, there is freedom. I want to live in freedom. A few weeks ago, we were on our staff retreat, and there's a girl on our team that's from Pennsylvania. And she, a lot of her family is actually Amish. So we were talking about, the Amish people are like some of the most interesting people. You need to like look up how they live their lives. It's crazy. It's very cool. So we were talking about Amish life and Amish country. She has Amish family and what that's like and what weddings are like. And she was telling us, you know, how amazing the Amish community really is. And how even though life may seem simple, they are very much grounded in the Word of God. And they are a very tight-knit community. And so she began to ask me if I knew of the story, an awful story, an absolute tragedy that happened in the Amish community where a man came into a schoolhouse with a gun and took the lives of 10 students in that schoolhouse and then took his own life. And I hadn't heard of this story. I also don't listen to the news, so that's probably partially why. And she said, yeah, it was just the craziest thing because of their response. Like, you talk about people that know how to forgive. So she began to tell the rest of the story, and then I looked it up online and did a little bit of research on it. And the man that actually entered the schoolhouse was a milk truck driver who made deliveries to the Amish families in that community. They would have somewhat known him. His name was Charles. And what was crazy was the forgiveness shown to Charles and his family by that community. They began to talk about shortly after how they had fully forgiven him and his family. Many of them buried their own children and the next day went to the funeral for Charles, hugged his wife and their family for their loss. Not out of anger, but out of forgiveness. You know what's even crazier? That community then donated money to Charles's widow. He was married and had 3 kids. They collected money, donated it to his widow and her 3 young children while they figured out what life was now going to look like for them. Talk about forgiveness. Honestly, I don't know if that would be my response. A counselor from the Amish community said, "Tragedy changes you. You can't stay the same. Where that lands, you don't always know, but what I found out in my own experience is if you bring what little pieces you have left to God, he somehow helps you make good out of it." And I see that happening in this school shooting as well. One just simple thing that the whole world got to see was this simple message of forgiveness. Talk about perspective. I mean, wow. choosing forgiveness. This year, I want to choose forgiveness. And the reason that we can forgive is because we have been forgiven of so much. Amen. This year, I want to be more intentional about becoming like Jesus. I want to be humble. I want to be obedient. I want to be patient. I want to be creative. I want to be generous, and I want to be forgiving. Did you receive the word this morning? I know it's kind of in your face. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, how is your relationship with Jesus? Maybe you are hearing about a God that loves you for the first time today. Can I tell you, he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to take on your sin, to take on your shame, so that you can experience freedom. You can experience salvation today. Or maybe if you're being honest with yourself, you're saying, yes, Alyssa, once I lived in relationship with Jesus, but if I'm honest right now, I'm not living for him. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want me to include you in my prayer this morning to say, yes, I want to get right with God. I want a relationship with Jesus like you talked of. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. One, two, three. Amen. Lift your hand. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. I'll give it just a few more seconds. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? I would love to include you in my prayer. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Don't let this moment pass you by. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. 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 Come on, church. Can we give it up for those incredible people that are getting right with God? We are all going to pray together right now. You can close your eyes again. And you can repeat after me. We're all going to repeat this together. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Today, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. You died for me. You took on my sin and my shame so that I could experience salvation today. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.